chapter 4, verse 17. And if you don't have your Bibles, just look up. We're going to be reading from the book of Jonah as well. This is our text, but our study this morning, the word will be taken from Jonah, the entire book, but we'll only be reading a couple passages. We'll be referring to the entire book. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Reading also from Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us, for the opportunities to worship you and to turn to your word. And we invite you this morning, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher. Speak to us clearly, concisely, challenge us from your word, and send us forth better equipped to serve you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you know very much about Nineveh? Now, I'll bet you these guys down here never even heard of Nineveh. And some over here probably have never heard of Nineveh. I'll bet you even some over here have only heard of Nineveh a bit. Nineveh was a great city. A matter of fact, it was the capital of one of the largest and most aggressive empires in the ancient times, in the ancient world. The book of Jonah tells us that it would take you a long time to walk through Nineveh. To walk around the city, it was 7.5 miles. The Bible records in the last chapter of Jonah that there were 120,000 children that were not able to discern the right hand from the left hand. That's a lot of kids. So we could say that Nineveh was at least the size of the city of London, if not larger. And that's without stretching the facts. The ruins of Nineveh have been excavated. Matter of fact, Nineveh is partially restored, and it's a great tourist attraction today to visit parts of Nineveh. The great leader that we're most familiar with is Sennacherib. He was the one that had conquered already Egypt and most of Palestine and came up against the city of Israel, or Jerusalem, and surrounded that city when Hezekiah called the people to prayer. And it's interesting that if you study the archives and the translations of books that have been found in the ruins of the libraries of ancient Nineveh, that the records that we find in the Bible go hand in hand with the records that are found in the libraries there, with the exception of the recording of why Sennacherib did not conquer Jerusalem. It does refer that he enclosed and caged the king in, but it does not record the conquering of the city. It does record the conquering, even as the Bible does, of every city that the Bible mentions. God had intervened. Now, Sennacherib, we know, was a very proud man. He recorded his successes and his victories, not his defeats, especially such a humiliating defeat. Now, the reason I want to talk to you about that is because we understand, if we study ancient history, that Nineveh was an evil city. To give you an idea of what the Assyrians would do, they would displace, as was custom, most of the people that they would capture. And they would make examples of all the leaders, all the religious leaders that did not follow their religion, and all of the political and military leaders, by impaling them on a spike. They crucified them in a way in which the spike would go up their back and out their neck, and they could do it without killing them. Now, that's not a very good image, is it? They, needless to say, were not nice people. They were sinful. Now, They had seen the hand of God destroy thousands, hundreds of thousands of their troops when God intervened on behalf of Jerusalem and a king who called his people to prayer. Now, with this understanding, we come to the book of Jonah. Now, think about your worst enemy. Think about the worst people you have ever read about in the world if you've studied history. Think about the worst country, the last country you would want to visit because of its evilness and its wickedness, and put yourself in Jonah's place. These people had persecuted the Jewish people for years, enslaved them. And the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. I got a job for you. I want you to take the message of repentance to the city of Nineveh. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up, it says, the next verse, to flee from the presence of the Lord. He got a word from God that he did not really want to hear and that he did not want to receive. And so he booked an immediate holiday in the Caribbean. Well, it doesn't quite say that. It says he booked a ship to go to Tarshish, and that he got on that ship with the sole intent and purpose of fleeing from God. Dumb can you get? I mean, let's think about it. He knew who God was. Matter of fact, if we were to look into the next chapter, when they run into this terrible storm, we don't want to go there yet, but I just want to see how he describes him. It says that this is the God that he served. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. The God that created all. The God of covenant. The God that delivered the children of Israel from out of the hand of Egypt. That opened the Red Sea. It opened the... and allowed the folks to cross the Jordan River. He said, that's the God I serve. I serve the God that brought the walls of Jonah down flat. I serve the living, the only true God. Now, tell me. Today, we could book a flight to the Caribbean. We could run wherever we wanted. But how are we going to run and flee from God? You know, Jonah was, his name means dove, which means, in a sense, means peaceful. I can't imagine a man with the name dove. Well, that would keep you humble right from the beginning. How would you like that, guys? We're going to call you, your name, Birdseye, or Birdie, you know, or Dove, or Sweet Pea. You know, something like that. And now here's Sweet Pea, or Dove, and he's called to go to the worst city on the world and preach the good news, tell them to repent, or else God's going to get them. Well, by his very nature, his name suited him. He was non-confrontational, and we learn from the book, he was also a proud man, and he said, no way, Jose, book me out of this place, I'm running. And he ran. Now, we can look at this and say, Jonah, you fool, you. But how many of us have had a word from the Lord and we've run from it? We've been disobedient to it. We never booked a flight out or took a boat to some other community. But nonetheless, instead of being obedient to that word, we ran from it. God spoke to you, you know, gosh. Talk to your neighbor. Tell him God loves him. And he isn't the worst neighbor in the neighborhood. Matter of fact, she might be a nice grandmother. And the Lord says, bake zucchini bread. Well, that's an easy one for most of us. But some of us have failed even in that simple call of God. Now, God is still in the midst. He is still sovereign. And I know that we all have to make decisions. When God speaks to us, it's our choice. We make those decisions. Whether we listen to Him, or listen to our heart, or listen to what's coming down, we have personal choices. The Bible says that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. It goes on to say he found a ship. He sought a ship. Found his transportation. And not only did he find it, but he paid the fare. How many of us find that in our running, there's a price to be paid? There is a price to be paid when we run and we get out of it. The guys are being honest. There is a price to be paid when we run from the Lord. There is, when we choose to go the way that other ways, there is a price to be paid. When we choose to do the foolish things of this world. I don't know how many people I've talked to that have chosen to get involved in alcohol, only a drink, or tried drugs, and they've got that monkey on their back because they made that choice. There was a price to pay. You find your escape. For some it's a boat, for some it's a bottle, for some it's drugs, for some it's whatever. How many have hid themselves in their work rather than facing responsibilities at home and their families? They're putting in overtime. Their vehicle of escape may be different, but nonetheless, they have chose their vehicle of escape and they are paying the price for it. We see it today in broken families, broken homes, ruined lives. Well, praise God, He's still there. God gives us a choice. First, we can accept Him as Savior. Isn't it exciting when we see folks coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, making that first and most important decision? Say, Lord, I can accept You, and I can have all of this guilt and all of this garbage dealt with, put away because of the cross, because You said You would forgive me, and there is no longer any guilt. We can choose to walk with Him daily, or just be a Sunday morning Christian, Sunday evening, Wednesday night Christian. But I want you to know that when God chose you to walk with Him, He called you in a 24-hour, 7-day, 360-day, 5 days a week walk. Not just a moment Sunday morning. Not just through a few good worship services or choruses and perhaps listen to the pastor if I can keep awake. Hey. He calls us to walk with Him in a daily, moment-by-moment relationship, and He calls us to obey His Word. He didn't give it to us just to let us know. The Bible says that what every word that we receive, we are held accountable for it. When the last days come, and we as Christians will not stand before the white throne, but we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account. Have we built with hay, wood, sticks, or have we built solid upon the rock, upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, stone by stone, line by line, precept by precept, as God has sown His Word into your life? Or have you chose to hear the Word and go your way? We have choice to go where He sends us. But I don't want to go where He sends me. So? But, you know, I read a book years ago, one of my required missionary readings. He had no rights. Remember how he prayed, nevertheless, you know, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. He had no rights, comma, we have no rights. when he calls you to go? The response should be, where? Whom shall I send? The word of the Lord said in Isaiah, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Lord, send me. That was not Noah's response. He chose to go the other way, to run, to flee. And the last choice I mentioned today, and there are many others, not only do we go where he sends us, but we say what he asks us to say. There would be a lot more communication, better communication, if we would just share what God asked us to share. Many years ago, and I shared this with some of you before, Stanley Hammond was teaching in my homiletics class at Bible College, and he taught on the three S's. And those of you that have heard this before, bear with me. But the first S was to stand up. And he said, if God's given you a word, stand proudly when you proclaim it. Don't be ashamed of it. We've got the greatest message there is. Then he said, second S is to speak up. Sometimes I think as I'm getting older, I need a hearing aid. What'd you say, dear? And I don't think it's selective hearing. But if God's given you a word, don't mumble it. Don't lose it. Speak it clearly and concisely and precisely. Let others hear it so they can understand. Live it so they can see it clearly. Don't say one thing and be another. Hypocrite. Be what God has called you to be. Stand up, speak up, and the other one was to shut up. When you're done with what God has said, shut up. Let him do the work. In Billy Graham's autobiography, he shares about the first time that he was asked to speak, and he had at that time only three messages, each of which he thought was 8 to 10 minutes long. And he chose the first one. Preached them all in 7 or 8 minutes. All three. Didn't know where to go there, so he shut up. Gave an altar call. God gives you something to share. Share it proudly. Share it, speak it boldly. And when you're done, sit down and let him do the work. Now I want to touch on an area that some of you might disagree with. You know, many of us think the storms of life all come from the enemy. But the Bible tells me that the Lord sent out a great wind, such that the mariners on board this ship that Jonah was in were afraid that it was going to sink. And they tried everything, and finally they said, this isn't a regular storm. Let's inquire about who's here. And so they found out that Jonah was running from God. He shared who he was, what he believed, and when he told them that, they said, why have you done this to us? Why have you brought this calamity upon us? And when I read that, I realized, you know, sometimes when we run from God and we go our own ways, we think it's just me that is affected. But here in the midst of this sea where the storm was being blowing, the ship was being tossed, about to be sunk, everyone that was in that boat with Jonah was threatened with the loss of their life. I want you to understand that your decisions you make in your life don't just affect you. They affect others as well. And you will answer for those decisions that you make wrongly. The Bible says if the Lord tells you to speak to someone and you don't speak to them, that he will hold you responsible for their blood if they die in their sin. That's a pretty harsh word, but that's the word of the Lord. When we make decisions contrary to the will of God, it doesn't just affect my life, my wife's life, my children's life. It affects those that God intended to touch through my life. so they took a vote. They decided, well, we'll try more. They did everything they could. They got the oars out. They tried to row or do everything they could to save the boat. And finally, Jonah said, there's no use. No use. You can't beat God. Just take me and chuck me overboard. Get rid of me and you got rid of your problem. Now, isn't that a sad thing to say about one of God's people? Get rid of me and you've got rid of your problem. The storms and the problems that you're in, the problems in this city. Do you think that perhaps maybe some of the problems in our city are because God's people have fallen short of what God intended for them to do? I do. We're becoming much more aware. One of the things that the Canada Prayer Center has been doing, one of the things that Ron has been involved in, is some historical research. And you know, it is appalling, literally appalling. I don't know what other word to use. It's disgraceful, some of the things that Christians have done in this city against others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And much of that has never been repented of. Most of it, probably before some of us were born, some of it since. There are people out there today suffering because we fail to be obedient to the Lord. Well, I don't know about... I figured Jonah figured that was it. Into the waters he went. Now here's an interesting other thing. The Bible says that the Lord prepared a great fish. We understand that it wasn't a whale. Whales don't have throats large enough to swallow people. Most whales eat little wee... Those big animals, we eat microscopic animals and things about as big as shrimp. When I was up in the north last February, I heard about Charlie, a man who had been swallowed by not a great white, but it was a killer whale. Killer whales are not unusual to see them up in the north, hunting beluga whales and hunting seals and hunting other animals. And this one, poor Charlie, fell overboard. And he was gone. I shared with some of you. This was told to me by some Inuit or Eskimo, as some of you would call them, fishermen that knew Charlie, that they determined because this fish had swallowed Charlie that they would hunt it, and it took them almost 3 days to find it. And they caught it, harpooned it, pulled it aboard ashore, cut it open, and there was Charlie, still alive. Now, Charlie was never to be the same Charlie that fell overboard. He never looked the same, he never acted the same, but he was alive. He lived. Minus a lot of body hair and a few other things because he was slowly being digested. But he was alive and he recovered and lived to tell the story. The Lord prepared a great fish. Now, I think that this guy, Jonah, has to be the most stubborn man I have read about. It took him 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale before he decided maybe I should ask the Lord for help. I don't know about you, but as they threw me over the boat, I'd be saying, Lord, help me. And as I fell into that water and saw this mouth, I'd be saying, double Lord, help me. Oh, Jesus, what have I got myself into now? You know, boom. You know, I examine myself as I lay in the belly of this great fish, count my toes, count my hands, everything is still there. He has not chomped me in half. I am alive, I am breathing, and it's mighty dark down here, but quite comfortably warm. Why 3 days? I'll never know. Tell me, if you've been swallowed by a big fish, would you cry out soon? I think I would. I would. But his Bible says, finally, he prayed. And the Bible says, out of the fish's belly. Out of the... Well, he cried unto the Lord. You can read the chapter. It's a good one. And the Bible says, he repented. That was enough. And I like the words that the King James used. And it says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, Wow, what an image. And I'm not going to give in the graphics of what he looked like when he came. I don't know what was hanging on him, seaweed, whatever. But now, Jonah, the Bible says, laying there on the beach, delivered from the depths of the belly of the whale, delivered from the sea. And remember, the sea's calmed immediately as soon as they threw him overboard. The word of the Lord came to him again. And it's interesting, after all of this cycle, this running, and all this judgment that came about, the word of the Lord never changed. I really wonder. I've met so many people who have a word from the Lord. And I meet them next week and that word has changed. I meet them a week after and the word has changed. God just cannot make up his mind. I think maybe they're listening to the wrong word. I don't know about you, because the Lord does occasionally change his mind. It would appear to be so in the word of God, but I question that. I sometimes think that God tests us, not tempts us, but tests us, knowing what he is going to do already, but wanting to hear from us the right answer. Oh, you know that guy Mills, he's done and blowing it again. I think I'll stomp him out. The Lord says to me, oh Lord, don't stomp out Ron. He tells me later, I never intended to, but I just wanted to see if he really loved Ron. Okay. I could say that because we're good friends. God is still the God of the second chance. He still gives us opportunity to fulfill his word and his calling for our life. It's up to you now whether you're going to take that opportunity and say yes to the Lord. We could go on and look at the rest of the life of Jonah, but I'm not going to do that this morning. What I felt this morning to bring this to is the fact that he is the God of the second chance. That as I've looked around and I've recognized and seen and been there, I think in my own walk and with the Lord years ago when I was no different than Jonah because I was running from the word of the Lord. And God arrested me. A teenager at the age of 17. And you know, I took a long time. From the time, it was a lot longer than Jonah took. From the time I went into the hospital to the time the doctor told my mother I was going to die, I had lost over 80 pounds. I had gone from a healthy young man to a young man that was now totally paralyzed and could feel nothing, and recognizing that I was going to die. I think Jonah felt at the end of 3 days, if I don't get out of the belly soon, I'm done. We all have those circumstances that God sometimes in his grace and mercy prepares for us in order that we will turn our heart to him. And praise God for that. He made the whale. He prepared the great fish. What are the odds? Our luck, it would have been a mackerel. But for Jonah, it was a great fish big enough to swallow him whole and not harm him. Wasn't Charlie the tuna. He prepared the circumstance that was enough to bring the change about in his life so that he would cry out unto the Lord. Is God speaking to you? He is still the God of the second chance. Have you been running from him? Do you feel like your life has been swallowed up by events and circumstances? And there's nowhere to go. I'll tell you one thing. Jonah couldn't run anymore. He could wiggle his toes, try and move his legs, but there was nowhere to run. You find yourself at the place, nowhere to run. I would look around and say, maybe God put me here in order that I would finally cry out to him and say, not your, my will, but your will be done. Amen. Yes, I like that. Amen. Have you been running from God and his call on your life? God has a call for all of our lives. Some sometimes we don't realize it, and others don't realize we're running. Because others don't see the heart. God sees the heart. I have met people who were in the height of success, the biggest homes, more money than I could wish for, jobs going well, people working for them, but they're running from God. And they're so hedged in and surrounded and cramped by the place they have found themselves that there is no way that they can serve Him, because there's no time left in their life for God. Are you listening? The word of the Lord says God doesn't look out the outside. He looks on the heart. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, but looks on the outward appearance. This verse is taken from a time when a king by the name of Saul got impatient with the prophet of God and thought it was time to do the right thing and make an offering. And it was not his job to do it. It was Saul's job to do it. And he took upon himself an office. He took upon to do things that God had forbade him to do. Right things in the eyes of others. He said, well, we're going to do the offerings now. Samuel's not here. And he says, I am going to do the offerings. And so he offered the offering. Then saw the Samuel the prophet turns up and says, what's going on here? He said, well, you were late. Hey, God's never late. Don't rush His plans. It cost Saul his kingdom because he was disobedient. Disobedience will always cost you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I just thank You for a ship to run away on, or a fish large enough to swallow a man. But nonetheless, we have been running, and we have been paying the price to do it. And I just thank You, Lord, and I believe this morning that perhaps there are some here that as they examine their own hearts and look around, they realize, yes, that God has prepared the circumstances and allowed me to this place. To come to this place that I would be hedged in and only able to reach up to Him. And so, Lord, we search our hearts right now. While every eye is closed, our heads are bowed, that perhaps, Lord, there are some here that have never said yes to You. You've given them opportunities before to accept You as Lord and Savior and say, forgive me, but they've never done it. But I'd ask right now that if there's anyone here, that they would not be like Jonah and keep running, but they would acknowledge You as Lord and Savior. Father, there are Christians here that have been battling, running from Your call. And Lord, today, it's time for them to say yes, to turn around before they find themselves in similar circumstances. And Lord, there are some of us that are so boxed in by life, by work, by family, by circumstances. Spiritually, we feel like Jonah in the belly of that whale. We're still alive spiritually. But our ministry has been shut off. We're walking in what would appear to be darkness. And yet we love You. We know You. Lord, I'd ask right now as You speak to our hearts that we would say yes to You. Like Jonah, that we would call on to You out of the belly of the circumstance that we're in. And Father, this morning we declare that You are the God of the second chance. And I thank You for that. And ask You that You would give each of us that opportunity today to make a right decision and choice for You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.